If you're concerned that your investments may not align with Christian values, you might be interested in using a screened investment. Hi, I'm Rob West, and today we're talking with an investment manager about areas of moral concern that can be screened out of your investments. For years, some Christians have chosen to invest in ways that avoid companies involved in unhealthy practices. Here to talk with us today about it is Brian Mumbert. Then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Well, we're delighted to have Brian Mumbert back with us. Brian's the Vice President for Regional Sales at Timothy Plan, an underwriter of this program. Brian, great to have you back.
Rob, it's always a pleasure to be here. Thank you.
Absolutely. Now, Brian, when I think about Timothy Plan, it always reminds me of Ephesians 5, 10, and 11, where Paul urges believers to, quote, find out what pleases the Lord and have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness. That's, of course, something Timothy Plan has been helping folks do with investment filtering strategies for decades, isn't it?
Yes, Rob, absolutely. You know, that's a great verse to describe what we do here. And we're just privileged to, be a part of this whole faith-focused or faith-driven investing movement now for 30 years, three decades. We started back in 1994 and really wanted to look at these investment options in a way that would honor God and determine that we were not going to invest in unbiblical things, such as things like abortion that we're going to talk about.
Yeah, let's do that now, specifically talking about some of those filters you apply to Timothy Plan funds, and that's a great place to start when we talk about affirming life. Share that with us.
Absolutely. I mean, there is no way for the unborn to advocate for themselves, and thus the most vulnerable of all society. And so at Timothy Plan, we do believe that life exists at the moment of conception. And so this filter was put in place to ensure that we were not going to invest in companies that will be profiting from or promoting things like abortion. So that can include things like fetal stem cell research. It can also include manufacturing of abortifacients like the morning after pill, and can even include companies that would corporately donate to Planned Parenthood.
Interesting. Now, another filter you apply involves stewardship. Tell us what that's designed to exclude.
Certainly. This one's a really big hot topic right now. About 6 years ago or so, we stepped into that foray of legalizing online sports gambling. And it's an industry that has doubled almost year over year in size. And here we have something that, you know, when I grew up, you had to go somewhere to get to the gambling. It was a destination, whether it was Las Vegas or cities like that, that allowed it. And now I have access to something like this 24/7 in my pocket on my phone. And so, looking at this kind of thing that really preys on those with addictions and weakness, it's certainly an industry I think a lot of companies can get behind in thinking we shouldn't own stocks that are going to be involved in this, whether it's a casino, whether it's online sports betting, whether it's hotels that do this or cruise lines or a number of other things.
There's no doubt about that. And unfortunately, gambling is both addicting and a growing industry. So it's great that you seek to prevent Timothy Plan products from involvement with it. What other addictive areas do you screen for?
Definitely, speaking of addictions, the pornography area is a huge one. We know that people that sit in our churches today are addicted to this. And it's something that, yet there aren't that many publicly traded companies in this space. There are companies that will profit from hosting of websites and things of that nature. And so we have to ensure that we're removing any of these from the portfolio again as it preys on people's addictions.
Yeah. I want to finish with one more screening area, even though I know there's others beyond this. Tell us a bit about your screen for human rights and liberty.
Certainly. I mean, as we expanded into the international area of investing, we had to look at what companies were going to be doing business in countries that would support human trafficking or slave labor, underage workers and so on. And so it's something that we have to look at very carefully in ensuring that we don't invest in companies that would do those things.
Well, I know you all put in a tremendous amount of work to honor the Lord with your Timothy Plan product. So, Brian, thanks for stopping by to tell us about it.
Rob, it's always a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Folks, if you want to learn more, go to timothyplan.com. That's timothyplan.com. We've been talking with Brian Mumberg of Timothy Plan. We'll be back with your questions after this. Stick around.
For your walk with Jesus, I'm David Wolin with Haven Today, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. Do you ever feel like you're stuck in a spiritual rut? Like you take one step forward and two steps back? Well, here's a comfort for every Christian. The Holy Spirit is working even in those moments, which all of us have. Listen to how the Apostle Peter describes Christians. This is from 1 Peter. We are those who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through the sanctifying work of the Spirit, to be obedient to Jesus Christ and sprinkled with His blood. You see, the Spirit is sanctifying you. He's making you more like Christ, and that's true on your best day and your worst day equally. So don't despair. The Spirit is working. He will not fail. Grow in your walk with Christ. Visit getanchor.com.
Paying too much for health insurance? Frustrated by high deductibles and increasing premiums? There's a better way. Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM is a Christian community delivering a faith-based solution to the high costs of healthcare. Take control over your healthcare costs with a program from CHM that could save you up to 40%. Learn more and enroll today at chministries.org/faithfi. That's chministries.org/faithfi.
Wall Builders is dedicated to revealing the truth behind America's founding. Here's Tim Barton, president of Wall Builders.
Our goal here at Wall Builders is to present America's forgotten history and heroes, emphasizing the religious, moral, and constitutional heritage and foundation of our nation. Today, so few people recognize what has made this nation really the most successful, prosperous nation in the history of the world. It's a biblical foundation.
Listen to Wall Builders Live, Sunday mornings at 11:30 Central on American Family Radio.
What if buying groceries, gas, or dining out could help change lives? With Christian Community Credit Union's Cards That Give to Missions, you can help spread the gospel, combat human trafficking, and protect vulnerable children with every purchase at no cost to you. Apply for your card today. More information is available at joinchristiancommunity.com. That's joinchristiancommunity.com. The credit union is an underwriter of this ministry. Membership eligibility required.
Do you feel like your hands are tied with debt, preventing you from serving God? If you have credit card debt, Christian credit counselors can help. Through our debt management program, we can get you out of credit card debt about 80% faster while honoring your debt in full. For more information on how Christian credit counselors can help, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org. Or call 800-557-1985. 800-557-1985.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. It's time to take your calls and questions today on anything financial. We'd love to hear from you. The number to call, 800-525-7000. That's right. We've got some lines open today. We'd love to dive into your financial questions. Again, that's 800-525-7000. You can call right now. In the news today, the IRS has extended the free file program through 2029, continuing its partnership with a coalition of private tax software companies that allow most Americans to file federal taxes for free. IRS Free File remains open through October the 15th's federal tax extension deadline. You can use free file for 2023 returns with an adjusted gross income of $79,000 or less, which is up from $73,000 in 2022. More than 140,000 taxpayers successfully filed returns using the IRS Direct File this tax season, and the program saved filers an estimated $5.5 million in tax preparation fees for federal returns. So if that's something that you might qualify for, I'd encourage you to check it out just to see if it might be a good fit for you. Again, that's the IRS Free File program, and it's available through October the 15th, which is that federal tax extension deadline. All right, we're taking your calls and questions today. We've got lines open. Our team is ready. Whatever you want to talk about today, you know, a lot of folks been asking lately about debt repayment. You know, we're seeing debt levels rise, inflation on top of high interest rates, squeezing most Americans. And unfortunately, that savings that was built up for most, especially those on the low income bracket, that savings that was built up during the pandemic has been depleted in large part, and we're starting to see some real challenges with folks just in terms of rising debt levels up at $1.1 trillion. We're at a high water mark on credit card debt. How do you get out from under that? What does it look like to get that paid off once and for all? I'd love to talk about that in your financial life, explain our preferred approach, which is something we call debt management, not to mention what other folks are looking at, which we don't recommend, which is debt settlement and debt consolidation. So if you find yourself in that position, we can certainly talk about how you can get out of debt once and for all. By the way, you know, our perspective on this topic, a lot of folks will say you just probably should never use a credit card. You know, I don't take that approach. Now, if it has gotten you into problems because you have unsecured credit card and you're allowing it using it to live beyond your means, then of course you've got to get rid of it. But if you are able to manage it wisely only for budgeted items and pay it off at the end of the month, well, there are some really nice features, namely convenience, protecting you in terms of, you know, if somebody fraudulently gets a hold of your account with a credit card, it's a little easier to rectify that situation than a debit card. If they were to wipe out your account, you've got to wait for that money to be put back in, which could create other problems with automatic bill pay and so forth. So there really are some nice features of credit cards versus debit cards or even paying with cash, but we've got to use them wisely. And I think the bigger idea around debt is clearly that we need to have some rules around how we use debt, when we borrow and when we don't. And one of those rules is spousal unity. We like to say here at FaithFi, if you don't have complete spousal agreement, you don't borrow. And that just needs to be kind of right out of the gate accepted by everyone. Number two, don't allow it to enable you to buy things you really can't afford. And so one of the rules to use there is to make sure you're only borrowing for appreciating assets. What would that look like? Well, that's where the economic return is greater than the economic cost. So you might think of borrowing to buy a home. You might think of borrowing to invest in a business, not borrowing to go out to dinner and pay for it with money that you don't have in your budget. You get the idea. So we want to have complete spousal unity. We want to make sure that the economic cost is less than the economic return. We also want to make sure that we're not denying God an opportunity to work. What is that mean? Well, you know, it's this idea that if we get into financial trouble, perhaps we have a loss of a job, we don't know where the next paycheck is going to come from, inviting God into our financial life and asking Him in prayer to provide, to trusting Him, being willing to make sacrifices and go without rather than just pulling out the plastic and maintaining a lifestyle you really can't afford is obviously a critical piece of trusting God as our provider. And by the way, He is our provider, and He'll never abdicate that responsibility to anyone or anything else. It's not the U.S. government. It's not even your employer that's providing your income. Remember, God's word says that it's He that even gives us the power to create wealth. And so we need to understand that. So we just have to recognize that when we borrow, we are presuming upon the future unless we have a guaranteed way to repay. So we need to be on our guard there and make sure that as we're making decisions to borrow, that we've really counted the cost and run through each of these questions before we make that decision. All right, let's tackle a couple of emails, and then we will be jumping in to your questions today. If you have a financial question, we'd love to hear from you. We've got lines open, and our team is standing by. We will begin to take those calls in the next segment. So now's the time to get in the queue, whether it's investing, paying down debt, giving wisely, whatever's on your mind. Maybe it's identity theft. How do you protect yourself there? Or getting that credit score up. You can call right now, 800-525-7000. We'll dive into those in a moment. 800-525-7000. Let's take some emails. By the way, if you want to send an email along, you can do that to askrob@faithfi.com. This came in from Kimberly. Here's what she writes. I purchased several savings bonds back in 1998. We moved several times since then, and I can't locate them. Is there any way I can cash them in without having the actual bonds, or am I out of luck? Kimberly, there absolutely is a way. You're not out of luck. Since those bonds were issued after 1974, you can replace them using the form 1048-1048 at treasurydirect.gov. Now, if you know the bond serial numbers, that's great. Just fill them into the form online at treasurydirect.gov. If you don't know the serial numbers, you didn't take a photo of them, and I can understand, you know, perhaps if you didn't, you'd still want to go to treasurydirect.gov and click the menu button. Then in the search feature, type in Treasury Hunt, and it will take you to a page where you can answer additional questions to get those bonds replaced. So you can do that, and it won't be too challenging. TreasuryDirect.gov is the place to go. All right, one more before our first break. Robin writes, I'm 58. I earn $98,000 a year. I'm currently renting, but it's very expensive. I want to buy a home, but I'm wondering if I'm too old at this point. What do you think? I want to make a biblically sound decision. Robin, you are not too old to buy a home. It's not too late. The challenge is finding something that fits your budget. So let me give you a couple of rules of thumb as you're out house hunting. And remember, we got to start with the budget and figure out how much you can afford before you go shopping. Otherwise, you will find a house that you like and you'll be encouraged to kind of stretch beyond that budget. So two rules of thumb. Number one, a 20% down payment. I realize that's challenging with the prices of homes these days, but that's going to give you some margin, or excuse me, some equity on day one. If the housing market were to dip, you wouldn't be upside down, and you'll avoid PMI, private mortgage insurance, which is about 1% of the mortgage value, and it doesn't do anything for you. It's all to protect the lender. The other rule of thumb is make sure your housing expense, principal, interest, taxes, and insurance does not exceed 25% of your take-home pay. That will ensure you've got enough left over for everything else. Robin, thanks for writing to us. Phone lines are open, 800-525-7000. Your calls after this break.
Join us for the second annual AFA at the Ark.
Myself and Tony Ventagliano, his family and my family, and several of the other staff members at AFA.
Tickets include transportation from the hotel to the museums, both tours, and special presentations by Answers in Genesis speakers. AFA has reserved a block of rooms at a discounted price with the Marriott Cincinnati Airport Hotel. To register, go to afa.net/events and join us for AFA at the Ark.
FaithFi is grateful for support from OneAscent. OneAscent believes that your values inspire why you invest and how they can inspire how you invest. OneAscent's goal is to provide solutions designed for every need and invest in businesses that bless the people and places God has made. They want to help investors do well by doing good, to explore a new way of investing that aligns with your values. More information is available at OneAscent.com and by clicking Analyze My Investments.
Roe v. Wade is history, but sadly, the killing of unborn babies continues. AFA Action works to keep you informed on how you can help close legal loopholes and fight for the innocent. One way you can help is with your gift to keep AFA Action on the front lines in the battle for life. When you give, you'll also get free access to the Monica Kelsey story that details her mission to save abandoned newborns across America. Stop by afaaction.net today. AFAaction.net.
We are grateful for support from the Eventide Center for Faith and Investing. ECFI is an educational initiative of Eventide Asset Management that seeks to help Christians understand and practice biblically faithful investing. They do this through their podcast and online journal featuring articles from industry thought leaders and their course called Discover God's Story for Investing. More information is available at faithandinvesting.com. That's faithandinvesting.com.
Director of the AFA Foundation, Riley Wildman.
The most rewarding thing about my job is that we get to build relationships through our donors and our supporters and get to have that personal relationship with them.
Contact the AFA Foundation today to learn how you can shore up permanent income for your retirement years while supporting the culture-transforming work of the American Family Association. Call 800-326-4543, extension 345.
Are you a financial advisor or CPA seeking to build your practice on biblical wisdom? Not only does the Certified Kingdom Advisor education provide you with deep biblical insights, the CKA designation sets you apart. Each year, almost 50,000 people search for a Christian financial advisor. Join our community and share your expertise with clients looking for someone who shares their faith and values. Find more information at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. The calls are coming in, but we still have a few lines open. So if you've got a financial question today, we'll be encouraging. We'll take you back to God's Word and help you make a wise decision in light of biblical wisdom. The number to call, 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. You can call right now. Let's start in Virginia today. Hi, Lisa. Go right ahead.
Hi, I have a question. Hi, I had a question. I recently inherited a retirement account from my deceased husband. I wanted to convert the money into a down payment for a house. And I wanted to know if you had any advice on the least painful way to do that.
Yes. Boy, I'm sorry to hear about your husband's passing. So you want to take it out. How much is in that account and how much are you looking to use?
I have about $1.5 million in the account, and I'd like to use about half of it, honestly.
Okay. All right. Yeah. So that, you know, that will come out taxable. So it is going to be added to your taxable income. What do you feel like is the timing on this? Ideally.
I don't know. I feel like to buy a house with the current interest rate versus the interest rate I'm earning in the investment, it makes more sense to pull the money out, put it in a house, and then I'm going to get that money. Whatever money I lose, I'm going to get it back when I resell.
Yeah.
That's how I'm feeling.
Yeah. Yeah, I would agree with that. I mean, you know, real estate obviously has done well. We have no reason to believe it won't continue to do well. We are experiencing a dramatic increase in housing prices here in the U.S., and that's not a bubble situation in my view. Most economists feel like that's driven by just pure supply and demand. We just don't have enough homes in this country for the need that exists, at least today. And so that's why we've seen housing prices, although their pace of growth has leveled off, we haven't seen any kind of decline despite, you know, now going on quite a bit of time here, over a year with these higher interest rates. You know, I think the idea that you would have, you know, both real estate and stocks and bonds working for you with somebody managing that stock and bond portion makes sense because, you know, you're properly diversified then, not only in your stock and bond portfolio, but among asset classes, real estate, stocks, bonds, precious metals, whatever else you have. I think the only consideration is just the tax consequences of this and making sure you do this in a way that is tax efficient. So I would work with your CPA. So one option to consider would be, you know, maybe you delay this until the first of next year and you take half of what you need in 2024 and then you take the other half in 2025 and you could take it on January 1st if you wanted to. What's the benefit of that? Well, because whatever comes out is going to be added to your taxable income, you just want to keep it from pushing that portion up into a higher bracket. if possible. And the nice thing about that strategy is not only does it spread it over two tax years, so maybe you won't spill at least as much of it into a higher tax bracket, but secondly, the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act expires at the end of 2025, going into tax year 2026. So we don't know, of course, the outcome of the election, and we won't until November, but if we see that expire, the Trump Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, we know rates are going up, and that would mean that perhaps after 2025, if you tried to take that money out, you'd pay even more because of higher tax rates. So I think spreading it out over two tax years makes sense. The other potential benefit to you on that, Lisa, is we expect that interest rates will start to come down at some point this year. Now, we don't know. We thought they would have come down by now, but inflation's been a little stickier than we expected, and the Fed is wanting to see several months of declining inflation. They haven't seen it. They're still saying they expect cuts this year, but you might find yourself maybe in the first quarter of next year getting a better interest rate than you would get this year. How does all that sound, though?
That all makes sense to me, and I appreciate the comments. Sure. I'm going to continue to think about it.
Yeah, I think you need to. I mean, sir, you know, this is obviously more than investment. This is your home. This is where you live. So there are both financial and non-financial considerations. And so I think, yeah, you'd taken a time to step back and just say, Lord, what would you have me to do? We want to factor in the financial, but we don't want to let that be the driver necessarily, especially, you know, your home, I really don't look at as an investment per se. What do I mean by that? Well, we want it to appreciate, and it should, and usually it does. But it's also where you live. I mean, the definition of an investment is as soon as it accomplishes its purpose, you would sell it and move on. And that's not what we do with our homes because they're also the place that we live. So there's other elements to this that I think you certainly need to think and pray through. But if we can help along the way, don't hesitate to reach out. And Lisa, I'd like to send you a book. It's our gift to you just for being on the program today. It's called Wise Women Managing Money. And it was written by a wonderful lady who has a ministry to widows called Widow Connection. Her name is Miriam Neff, and it really is for women who are now find themselves in that primary decision-making role in the financial area. And I think it'll be an encouragement to you and give you some further things to think about, okay?
That's very nice. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Stay on the line. We'll get that right out to you and get your information. Thank you for calling today. Let's quickly go to Louisiana. Hi, Ronald. Go ahead, sir.
Yes, sir. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
So I'm going to be getting married in November, and I have a house already that I have bought prior to that relationship, and I'm still paying on it. I don't know if I want to rent that house out to supplement my income, or if I want to, or should I sell the house and just start over?
Yeah. Yeah. Does she have a home?
She does not.
Okay. All right. And you know, as you think about it, I mean, the two of you have talked about it, does she have a preference? I mean, is she excited, or are both of you excited about picking out the home you're going to start out in together versus just the one you have currently?
Yes. In fact, we both went and looked at, mobile homes, double wide mobile homes. And we have, looked at maybe a trailer land deal or something.
Okay. Yeah, good. So let's do this. I've got to take a quick break. When we come back, I'll give you my thoughts on whether or not to keep this place as a rental. We'll be right back. 19. That's how many pairs of shoes the average American has in their closet. 1. That's how many pairs of shoes it takes to share health, education, opportunity, and the love of Christ to a child in need in the world. You can play a part in changing the life of a child today through Buckner Shoes for Orphan Souls. Visit giveshoestoday.org and find out how you can provide shoes for a child in need. That's giveshoestoday.org.
I know darkness is in the world, but that don't mean I gotta kick open my front door and welcome it. Why would we continue to tolerate wickedness at any level? God knows the scope of your access and impact. He knows that. But he does expect you to be his ambassador in your world.
Tune in to the Hamilton Corner, weekdays at 5 p.m. Central on American Family Radio.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance Program. For more than 30 years, they've been helping Christians reach their financial goals with step-by-step guidance for investors at every stage, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. Through scriptural principles and practical suggestions, SMI offers financial wisdom for living well. More information, including the short video webinar on profit and peace of mind, no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
As a faithful listener of the Faith and Finance program, you know that there is life-changing financial wisdom in God's Word to meet all your needs. More than anything, FaithFi is here to help you and millions of others see God as your ultimate treasure. As a nonprofit, we're grateful for our partners that help expand our outreach every month with their generosity. Has God provided financial answers for you through this ministry? Please consider becoming a monthly partner by visiting faithfi.com and clicking Give.
The American Family Association's mission is to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. Our goal is to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. We believe true morality flows from biblical principles and directs people to the manner in which God intends them to live.
Thank you for standing with the American Family Association as we seek to stop the erosion of godly values.
Frustrated by your health insurance? Confused by the network restrictions and increasing premiums? There's a better way. Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM is a Christian community delivering a faith-based solution to the high cost of healthcare. Take back control of your healthcare with the ability to choose a provider you trust with no network restrictions and savings of up to 40%. Learn more and enroll today at chministries.org/faithfi. That's chministries.org/faithfi.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
I'm so glad you joined us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. You know, everything on AFR we want to look at through the lens of Scripture, a biblical worldview, and that includes our money. This is a high calling to be money managers for the King of Kings, and we want to help you be found faithful. Whatever your questions are today, anything in your financial life, we've got lines open. You can call right now, 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. Our team is standing by. Before the break, we were talking to Ronald in Louisiana. He's getting married and has a home. She does not. And they're interested in perhaps either selling it and buying something else, perhaps a double-wide trailer, or hanging on to it and using it to supplement their income. And he's just wondering how's the best way to make that decision. So if you were to hang on to it, Ronald, you know, the biggest or first consideration besides do you want to be a landlord? Do you have the time and the, you know, interest and capacity to take that on and, you know, deal with problems as they come up and you got a stopped up toilet or, you know, you need to deal with a maintenance issue? I mean, it's not a passive income stream. You have to be somewhat active. So I think that would be the first question. But just in terms of financial readiness, the thing that I would want to make sure is that by hanging on to that and not pulling the equity out to roll into your next property, that you're not putting yourself in a difficult financial spot, meaning that you're not robbing yourself of the opportunity to put down a sufficient down payment of at least 20% on the new place. You know, that you've factored in, if you have a mortgage on your current place, what if we were to get into a recession, you know, maybe even more than just a shallow recession, something a little deeper over the next year, and, you know, you just didn't have somebody to rent it. You went for 6 months or longer without a renter. Would that create a financial hardship for you? So talk to me about kind of those pieces of it without you having access to that equity by selling it.
Okay, so I am a truck driver, so as far as the day-to-day maintenance, I guess that might be a difficult task for me to be on the ready, for instance. But, you know, as far as
as far as the rest of that question.
Yeah, let's focus on the down payment first. So what would you be looking to spend with the new place, and how much would you have without using what I call your emergency fund, if you have one, of 3 to 6 months expenses, without touching that, and given that you wouldn't be pulling any equity out of the existing home, how much would you have to put down on the new place?
Okay, so right now, probably in the neighborhood of around $5,000.
Okay, and how much are you guys looking to spend on that?
We really didn't want to go over 175.
Okay.
If it was a trailer land deal.
Okay, and what
so
if you went?
Yeah,
go ahead.
Yeah. So we're thinking about maybe like 130 for the trailer and the double wide, and then the rest of it would go into property.
All right. And what I'm hearing, though, is you have a mortgage on your current place. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And if you didn't have a renter for a period of time, you know, that might create a bit of a strain because the only, Okay. Yeah. So, I mean, for everything I'm hearing, that's kind of, that puts three strikes on it, if you will, because number one is you're not in town. And so, your wife would happen to be picking up the pieces and that may or may not fit with what she's able to do. Number two is we don't have the down payment. I'd love for you to have more like $35,000 instead of $5,000. And number three is if you got into a situation where, you know, we had a real economic event and you don't have a renter, it could cause a real financial strain on you and you could even lose the property. And that's the last thing we want. So as much as I love real estate investments, I think your opportunity right now as you go into this new marriage is make sure you have a strong financial foundation under you. And that means selling this place, getting that equity, buying something with as little mortgage as possible that you all can enjoy and not have this other burden. And then maybe if you can continue to save because you're living below your means, you guys buy a small rental property down the road.
That sounds great.
Okay. Sounds great. Awesome. Hey, Ronald, congratulations, my friend, on your upcoming marriage. I want to send you a gift as well. Stay on the line. We'll get your information. I'm going to send you a book called Money and Marriage God's Way from my friend Howard Dayton. And I think it'll be a blessing as you and your fiance sit down and start to prepare not only for marriage in all the other areas, but specifically in this money area. Again, it's called Money and Marriage God's Way. Stay on the line. Let's go to Montana. Hi, Kathy. How can I help?
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I have a quick question for you.
Sure.
My husband and I just got a card, and we noticed on the statement there's a closing date, which is May 23rd. The payment date is due on June 16th. We're wondering, like, the balance, does it still accumulate the interest till the payment date?
It does not, so long as you pay off the balance as of the end of the closing date of the cycle, not the due date, but as long as you pay the full balance as of the closing date by the due date, you get a grace period until the due date. So there is no interest accruing so long as you pay the full closing date balance by the due date. And that minimum payment, which you're hopefully paying it all in full, is calculated based on that closing day balance.
Okay, cool. I was just wondering if that carry, if it's a, okay, that was my question. Thank you for the answer, and I love
you. You're welcome. Thank you, Kathy. Let me mention one other thing, and this may or may not affect you, but a lot of people don't realize this. If you're concerned about your credit score, let me just throw one other idea out that relates to this issue of billing cycle end versus due date. Now, let's say you've got a limit of $5,000, okay? And let's say you're putting all of your budgeted expenses on that card during the month, and then you're paying it off at the end of the month by the due date, right? Which means no interest. Well, if you don't pay it till the due date, what's being reported to the credit bureau is the balance as of the close of the cycle, which is the full amount you borrowed because you haven't paid it off yet. So in my example of a $5,000 limit, if you're spending on that card more than $1,500, which is 30% of that limit, and that's what's being reported to the bureau, that can start to pull your credit score down because they don't know that you paid it off. The only way to avoid that is to actually pay it by the end of the closing of the cycle, and then you're going to have a zero balance reported to the bureau, and that's going to, you know, not allow you to trip over the 30% threshold on credit utilization. Now, if your limit is much higher and you're not charging over 30% in a month's time, I wouldn't even think about it. But that is one other consideration for you to think about. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. I knew there was something about that.
Okay, yeah, very good.
Paying it off by the closing date.
Yes, ma'am. That will help if you're concerned about your credit score. If you've got a high score, don't worry about it. Just pay it by the due date, and you won't pay any interest as long as you pay it in full. God bless you. Thanks for calling today. 800-525-7000. We're going to take a quick break here in a second, but when we come back, we've got some great questions lined up in our final segment, but I've got room for a couple more. Again, whatever you're thinking about in your financial life, 800-525-7000. Hey, as we head into this break, let me just encourage you. If you find value in this program, maybe you listen regularly or you've been able to apply something in your financial life and you'd like to support our work here at FaithFi because we're listener supported, we could use your support before June 30th, the end of our fiscal year, when you go to faithfi.com and click give. That's faithfi.com and click give. Thanks in advance. We'll be right back.
This is Jan Markell. Next on Understanding the Times Radio, I talk to Dr. Mark Hitchcock about events that are making believers anticipate Christ's soon return. We are watching the stage being set and the players take that center stage. Where will you be positioned? That's next on Understanding the Times Radio.
Saturday afternoon at 1 Central and Sunday afternoon at noon Central on American Family Radio.
Hello, I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network, a growing national network of pastors committed to the authority of Scripture and preaching the whole counsel of God. We believe biblical obedience is the foundation for revival, and impacting our culture for Christ is our duty. For too long, the pulpits of America have been silent on the important issues such as marriage and family and assault on our liberty. Join us in the battle for truth on Stand in the Gap weekend, Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. on American Family Radio, and visit us at AmericanPastorsNetwork.org.
When you hear the phrase, rich toward God, what comes to mind? Surely it doesn't mean making God rich. Is it about us becoming rich so we can give? Or maybe it's an invitation to something much bigger. In the new Rich Toward God study, FaithFi has created a way for you to explore and reflect on a well-known biblical parable about a very rich man with a very big problem. Request a copy of the Rich Toward God study today with your gift of $25 or more by going to faithfi.com/give.
We are grateful for support from Timothy Plan. Are you unsure if your investments align with your values? Well, for nearly three decades, the goal of the Timothy Plan has been to guide clients on a biblically responsible journey with its mutual funds and ETFs. More information is available at timothyplan.com. Investing includes risk, including possible loss of principal. Before investing, carefully consider funds, investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses contained in the prospectus available at timothyplan.com. Read carefully before investing. Mutual funds distributed by Timothy Partners LTD and ETFs distributed by Foresight Fund Services LLC.
Thanks for joining us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio, where we want to help you see God as your ultimate treasure and money as a tool to accomplish God's purposes. We're taking your phone calls today at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. Here in our final segment, let's head right back to the phones. We'll head out to Arkansas. Bob, thanks for your patience, sir. Go ahead.
Yes, I'm just looking for some ideas to fund a supplemental retirement for my wife when she retires. She's basically only going to be collecting Social Security. And I'm a retired federal employee and only chose a minimal survivor benefit for her, which won't be enough to really help her too much. So I received some inheritance recently. Okay. And was looking for ideas on how to maybe invest that into some retirement income for her.
Yeah, very good, Bob. Well, let's talk about that for a second. So as you look at what income sources will be available, are you thinking about beyond your life? So if your income were to go away and then maybe she'd take a survivor's benefit, but you're seeing that wouldn't be enough, or are you talking about right now?
No. After I'm gone, basically.
Okay. Got it. Yeah. So she would be able to take a survivor's benefit equal to 100% of your Social Security. And so.
Well, I'm one of those government employees who is in the windfall elimination and EPO.
Yep.
So,
So the benefit she will
almost nothing.
Got it. Okay. So she'll continue with her own. And what would you think, Bob, as you run that retirement budget, where it's just her? I mean, what do you think roughly that gap is we're trying to solve for?
Oh, probably a couple thousand a month.
Okay.
Maybe.
All right. Let's use that. And I think that might be a good next step for you to kind of dial into that a little bit more and say, okay, let me actually create the budget. Hypothetically, I'm gone. What would it look like for her on a monthly basis? And try to dial into what is that that delta, if you will, that gap that we're solving for. If you don't mind me asking, what was the inheritance?
$75,000.
Okay.
There may be a little more in the future, but that's for sure that amount.
Yeah. Okay. So, I mean, you've got a couple of options. If you want more of a guaranteed approach, you could put it into, let's say, a variable annuity where there's no downside. You get a portion of the upside and try to grow it. And then, you know, she could convert that to a guaranteed income stream for life at your death. And then that would supplement her Social Security. You could do a guaranteed annuity where it's growing at a guaranteed rate of return, or you could give that to an advisor. That's right about the minimum that a lot of money managers will take, and not all of them will, but where they would build a portfolio that, you know, tries to protect it, but also grow it modestly. The challenge is that, you know, our typical withdrawal rate rule of thumb is 4% a year, where you're trying to maintain that balance throughout, you know, your retirement years. And let's say she lives to age 95 and the Lord tarries. If he doesn't, doesn't matter. But if he does and she lives to age 95, we don't want that money to go away over time. The challenge is 4% a year on $75,000 is only $3,000 a year or $250 a month, which is, you know, quite a bit off from the $2,000. I mean, let's say even that grows to $150,000, you know, between now and when she'd actually start pulling this money out, because hopefully she doesn't need it right now. Well, that's $6,000 a year, and that would get her up to $500 a month. So I think the question is, kind of given that we're quite a bit off there, what do we do with that money today? And I think you've got kind of these several options. One is to hire an advisor. Second is to look at a more of an insurance product, which is not my typical advice, but I think in this case it could make some sense since we're solving for a time when you're no longer here. But then the other thing is, what can we do to continue to build assets between now and when the Lord calls you home? Do you, you know, continue to work part time? You know, where you can take 100% of that and sock it away. You know, those are the kinds of things we may need to look at as a second option here, just to get the assets up to a level where they could support, you know, a couple of thousand dollars a month. You know, for instance, if you could get up to $450,000, you know, that would throw off $18,000 a year. We're still not even quite there. I mean, we're probably looking more like $500,000. And I know that might sound like, well, I'm just not sure I can do that. And I get that. And so then the other option is to say, okay, well, what does it look like to dial back expenses so that she doesn't have as much overhead? But give me your thoughts on all that.
Well, I mean, those are, you know, a lot of good options and stuff. I do have a small variable annuity that I've had for years. It's probably only got about $60,000 in it. And okay. Right now I have a life insurance policy, but I'm 70 years old and it's a term life. And that thing is getting pretty darn expensive each quarter to fund that life insurance policy. And I'm not sure how much longer I can keep that going.
Yeah, well, if you're beyond the term, which is when it starts dramatically increasing, the idea is that you need to drop that. I mean, that's going to be really cost prohibitive. And I realize that gives you even less if you were to die tomorrow, and none of us know the hour that the Lord will call us home. But, you know, you really need that money going back into your budget. The idea behind term is that once that term ends, that the level term where there's no increase in the premium, then we need to let that go, because that's going going to be really cost prohibitive at that point.
Yeah, well, I don't know if it's considered a level term. I mean, I've had it for years, and I hit certain age groups, and the premium goes up.
Yeah, so it's maybe a whole life policy. What's the death benefit on that?
Well, it's not. I know it's not a whole life, but it's $100,000 on it right now.
Yeah, and all right, what are you paying a year for that now?
Well, I just hit the age 70 category, and I think it's probably about $2,000 a year.
Yeah, that's pretty expensive. I'd probably look at letting that go and just starting to sock that away, because that obviously is going to continue to increase as you hit these other categories. Well, hopefully that's given you some things to think about, Bob. If you do want to connect with an advisor there in Arkansas, you can reach out to a certified Kingdom advisor on our website at faithfi.com. Just click Find a Professional. May the Lord bless you, sir. Thank you for being on the program today. Let's go to North Carolina. Hi, Sandy. How can I help?
Yes, I just wondered if an irrevocable trust is taxable after death, or does it go back to a will that was already made?
Yeah, no. So the irrevocable trust is one that cannot be changed, where you no longer control those assets. Perhaps you're thinking about a revocable trust, or is it in fact an irrevocable?
It's an irrevocable.
Okay. All right. So, there is really no estate tax, and at least right now, until you get above $13 million. You really don't have to worry about that in terms of the overall estate. You could check with your estate attorney just on the details of your situation, but it's likely that you wouldn't have, except for a pretty massive estate, although that's going to sunset in 2025 with the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, and that's going to drop down to a $5 million estate. But even then, for most folks, you don't have any issue there. It doesn't return to a will, though. The assets in the irrevocable trust will avoid probate and then pass directly to the named beneficiaries. And then it depends on whether it's what's called a grantor trust or a non-grantor trust. Do you know which it is?
I don't know which one.
Okay.
No.
Okay. All right. Assets transferred to an irrevocable trust are generally subject to gift tax. Again, that's going to be that $13 million lifetime amount. What I might do is contact the estate planning attorney, Sandy, that drafted it, and find out what type of irrevocable trust it is. And then typically if it's a grantor's trust, the grantor, during the grantor's lifetime, they would just be responsible for paying income taxes on the trust's income. And then for a non-grantor trust, the trust itself is taxed on any retained income. But the amount being transferred at death generally is not taxed, again, unless it goes above what is today that $13 million exemption for the estate. Okay.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You're welcome, Sandy. Thanks for your call. May the Lord bless you. Well, folks, we covered a lot of ground today. As we think about managing God's money, we can really boil down these principles once we understand that God owns it all. And that's the starting point, because that then affects every other financial decision, because every spending decision is now a spiritual decision, because I'm managing the King of Kings money. But those principles we see in Scripture are to, number one, spend less than we earn, because that's the key to every financial success. We've got to live within God's provision. That's contentment. Number two is we got to avoid the use of debt, because debt mortgages the future. And so that's a self-discipline issue. Number three, we want to have some liquidity or some margin. That's a discipline issue. How do we have a surplus, something left over to fund our goals? Number four, we want to set long-term goals, because the longer term the perspective, the better the decision today. And then finally, we want to give generously, because giving breaks the grip of money over our lives. We want to exercise that muscle. Remember, we were created in the image of the ultimate giver, God Himself. And so when we give, our hearts are calibrated to His. And listen, folks, it's a privilege to be able to worship the Lord through our giving and participate in His activity. And if you do those things for a long, long time, live on less than you earn, avoid the use of debt, set long-term goals, have some margin, and give generously, doesn't mean you'll be free from financial challenges, but you'll put yourself in a position to experience God's best. And that's certainly what we want for you today. Again, if you want to support our work here at FaithFi, you can do that on our website. Be sure to make that gift before June 30th. That would help us out as we head toward our end of the fiscal year. FaithFi.com, click give. On behalf of my team today, Taylor, Devin, Robert, and everybody here at FaithFi, thanks for joining us. We'll see you tomorrow.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.